Ephesians 5. And I'm going to kind of speak here a little bit about on the theme here, weekend theme of the Valentine's holiday. And understand, I'm not just talking to marriage only this morning. No, my message here this morning is called Creating History in Marriage. I want you to realize that marriage has been given to us by God to show an example of our relationship to Jesus Christ, to God Himself. So even when we're single, we actually are called the bride of Christ. Amen? And so we're actually people that need to realize that God gives us things on the earth that are natural to show us spiritual truths. And one of those biggest spiritual truths we can have revealed to us is the mystery that's called a husband being married to a wife. We're going to see some parallels this morning from God's Word and from this message here as well about how God wants there to be a longevity in our relationship, not just with Him, but also with our spouse upon the face of the earth for blessings. There will be blessings in that. This is about an example of marriage that reveals much about the God-centered lifestyle to us. And again, on last Sunday night, we had, again, about 11 couples came together. We had 11 kids here on Friday night. It's Anson's 11th anniversary, so I'm hearing this word 11 all the time here. And so I'm praying to God that tomorrow our airplane is not 11 hours late. It's going to be 11 hours early, amen? But in that great dinner we had there last week at Johnny Carino's of the couples, I was talking to them about how God, again, has not created marriage to make us happy. And some couples said it's working. But God has actually created marriage. God's created marriage for us to make us righteous and holy, and even to kill us in some ways. And some will say that's also working. To kill us in some ways, let us understand how selfish we really can be. Marriage reveals our selfishness, and then having kids reveals even more of our selfishness. But then once we get through that and realize that marriage is all about us understanding more about our walk with God, how that is reciprocal, it actually brings to us a great spiritual dynamic that will bless our lives and is not a curse to us at all. Amen? God only gives perfect gifts and good things to people. And that does include the marriage relationship. So this morning here, I want to say that God wants there to be a sacred history, even a longevity in our marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Galatians, Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Jesus Christ also loved the church and gave himself for the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So should husbands also love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, cherishes it also, just as Christ also the Lord has loved the church. And so we see here again that you remember that God's telling us that as God loves the church through Jesus Christ, so also husbands love their wives like that. But through that also, we're displaying a sacredness and a thing that's even called holiness, how we're being set apart here for something divine and sacred that is called again the marriage covenant. Remember words again in the wedding vow that said something like this. We said things to our spouse and on the wedding day, those of us that are married, that says, till death do us part. Those are words that talk about history and having longevity. God wants those words to be real to us. That when we find ourselves coming together as a couple, we really mean those words that says, until natural death do us part, we shall be together, and the love we have for each other right now today, may it not diminish, but may it increase by God's grace and God's power upon the face of the earth. Marriage is supposed to be a journey, a long journey. When two folks come together, they spend their lives together, and they end up in a journey together where they become more and more like each other as all the years go by. I heard this funny story here this week about a young boy with his grandmother at a wedding. And he says, Grandma, why is that bride dressed in white like that? And she said, because it's a joyous day. It's a day of her rejoicing all the things she's done in her past, all the dreams she's had, all of her aspirations are all coming true today. And she's dressed here to celebrate the purity and the holiness and the sacredness here of holy matrimony here. She's a bride who wants to be a person that shows no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, and loves her life she has here in this great, brilliant white outfit. Then she goes, well, Mother or Grandma, why is the groom dressed in black? It's supposed to be a joke. Nobody gets to get that. That didn't really happen, okay? But I'm saying here, marriage is supposed to be a time where both parties come together, rejoicing in the honeymoon period, the honeymoon period again in the natural realm. How many folks don't understand it can wane, it can become stale, and things can start changing because two folks that were single are now coming together, and things start to shake, rattle, and roll in some dynamic methods there. And God says iron starts sharpening iron, and sometimes bad things take place there. But God's going to show us that today in this message, I believe, that good things will take place in due time for those who will persevere and have longevity in their relationships in marriage upon this earth. God is unique in that he attached himself, the Bible says, to a people. These people are called the nation of Israel. These people multiplied, the Bible says, and they grew into a great nation. But how many folks realize by reading the Bible that this marriage of God to Israel was anything but peaceful and harmonious? Now, the Bible says they first began dedicating the temple of Solomon to God. It says there was great celebration, there was sacrifice, there was dancing, there was singing. It was like a marriage celebration took place in the dedication of the temple of Solomon a couple of thousand years ago. But the Bible goes on and says, as time goes by, the people of Israel, their hearts began to take and yearn for foreign gods and foreign things and foreign customs, and their hearts started growing more and more cold towards God, as though time and time again they would backslide. They'd worship the gods of other nations. They'd turn their backs on the living God, and they forget to even hear God's voice or heed God's voice or forget what God even said at all. Well, the same thing also takes place many times in us in our marriage relationships there. It starts out with a honeymoon where things are joyful, a party goes on, we're all celebrating together. We send out invitations that are there. We spend thousands of dollars to bring this couple together here. But as the months and years and weeks are going by, sometimes that celebration becomes more and more disharmonious and becomes more and more of a thing that becomes painful and pressurized upon the earth. There's even sometimes times of silence. The Bible says where God himself was silent for 400 years. From the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, there was 400 years of biblical silence where God did not say one word to the people upon the face of the earth. And I began doing the math last night, and I realized that 400 years in God's economy, because the Bible says that 1,000 years to God is only, or 1,000 years to us is one day with God. That means that 400 years was actually 10 hours. For 10 hours in God's economy, he did not speak to mankind. I don't want to see a show of hands this morning, but how many folks that are married right now can say that you had some times in your marriage where 10 hours did go by of silence, biblical silence in your household? Sometimes marriages do have times of partying, times of rejoicing, times of honeymoon, but then as time goes by, there does come disagreements, there does come friction, there does come pressure, there does come so-called backsliding in our first love, even towards our spouse, perhaps. But the good news is, the Bible says, what God joins together, man will not separate, so God's grace will always be there through longevity and perseverance to bring back the same even feelings sometimes we had before if those things start waning in our lives or in our marriage. There were times, again, of silence. There were times of celebration. There were times of frustration. There were times of anger. And if you read sometime even books like Jeremiah chapter 3, you'll see the word backsliding. You'll see how God said you're like an adulteress. You guys are going after foreign gods, and you're doing things of even almost a spiritually sexual nature, it seems like, to join your hearts to foreign demons and foreign deities. And God is saying, again, you're an adulterous, backslidden people in your hearts. God is saying to us again today in the year 2014, many of our hearts also as married couples could have our hearts, I believe, rekindled once again with those flames of love, those flames of passion that might have been there stronger in times gone by. The husband and wife relationship closely also mirrors God's relationship also to us. It mirrors each other. And so God is saying, even as a single person today, we can really have Jesus Christ as our bride, as our God, as the one who's near to us, dear to us, and speaks to us. I know that God can fulfill single people themselves. If God's giving you a gift there to be single, don't condemn yourself for that. But realize again that God brings a marriage relationship there to mirror his walk with us also upon the face of the earth. The long journey relationship has taken on a new dynamic in that it is actually usually much longer today than it was as recent as the 1800s was 100 years ago. Do you realize in the 1800s, back 1860 and so forth, the average marriage only lasted 28 years because most men died in their early or mid-50s? To realize that this empty nest syndrome we have today is actually a kind of a newer type thing on the face of the earth, because only about 100 years ago, most men were dying when the first child was leaving the nest and going out there to get a job. They was about 45, 50 years old because of machinery, because of hard work, because of no antibiotics, no medications that we have today. Their bodies were wearing out. They had disease take place, and most men were dying in their 50s, early 50s, sometimes even their late 40s. So now today, having a marriage that goes on beyond your 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s is kind of a newer thing on the face of the earth. That's why they think and they believe that so many people are being raised up by God to be marriage counselors and marriage speakers, because people are staying married longer today than they ever have before in the recent history of the earth. In the year 1911, the average marriage lasted 28 years. In 1967, 42 years. And now 2014 is probably more like about 50-some years, because most of us are living now to be about 75, 85, even 95 years old, and we're still married. You know, Uncle Jerry, who would be here this morning if he could be, because he's so weak in his health he cannot be here, is about now about 93 or so years old, and he can still give trouble to his wife, even at age 93, amen? This guy does many things to bless his wife. He can also cause trouble to his wife, and he's 93 years old. We have many, many good years ahead of us, all of us that are sitting here today, amen, in our marriage with our spouse. But there's some things I believe God wants to hear about today that might help us also understand that God's a God of longevity, history, and perseverance. Marriage has been studied more because, again, couples in the recent past, because couples are living longer than they ever have before. The fact is, the majority of marriages that go through divorce, the divorce happens in the first 5 years of that marriage relationship. A good marriage isn't something you find, it's actually something that you make. You might have saw a movie out that came out about 15, 20 years ago. It was called Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks. And I think someone like Meg Ryan was the other person in that movie. And Hollywood shows the movies like this. It shows a couple who meet each other by the internet, social media, telephone calls, so forth and so on. And they find each other and they're total perfect soulmates living happily ever after, so-called, at the very end of the movie. That's not how things normally, though, take place in real life. We don't take and we don't find ourselves coming together like this in natural realms. We find ourselves coming together in spiritual realms. And no two humans coming together will not have some friction take place, because we got two folks of different mindsets that are coming together, forming a brand new world in their own lives. And it does not always create harmony. It sometimes creates sparks and flames and gasoline and fire, it seems like, sometimes in those marriages. Amen? So just like our walk with God is a sense of hanging in there, persevering, serving God in a realm of not by feelings but by faith, and not by sight but by the realm of the Spirit of God, of faith in God's Word being based upon that relationship there. Also in our marriages, God wants there to be a feeling not of just emotions and feelings, but also I am in this until death really does do us part. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in here to hang in there. I'm here to go through the bad times, the lean times, the silent times in my marriage. I am going to make a commitment here and say, my wife and my husband shall be mine again till death do us part. This is a very, very rare thing we're hearing today in this culture we're in today in America and around the world. But I believe that in the Church of Jesus Christ, God's grace is on couples for longevity, for maturity, and for going through sometimes the rough patches in their lives. The parable of the sower found back in Luke chapter 8 is a perfect example of a thing called perseverance. Luke chapter 8 talks about four kinds of soil, and it says here that first of all, the soil that was taken, and I think it was full of weeds and full of thorns and so forth. It says the time of testing came, and it says that seed, that plant began to spring up, but it quickly fell away because of all the persecution, all the cares, and all the worries of on this life. There was no perseverance, there was no hanging in there for that plant. Other seed, it says, fell upon a place where it got trampled on by men. And it says worries and pleasures, distractions took place. And all that thing that grew up there, the plant that grew up there, was all trampled down by cares, worries, and distractions and pleasures of this life. That takes place in Christians with God themselves, that many things sometimes choke out your first love for Jesus Christ. I'm praying to God in 2014, whether you're single or married this morning, that God restores that first love back into your life once again. If it's waned in any way whatsoever, may you find yourself more fervent, more zealous, more full of God's zeal, God's fire, and God's desires. Your heart may be rekindled once again. But also in your marriage relationship, God says also, let that fire be rekindled once again towards your spouse, towards your husband, towards your wife, that might be waning in some way and becoming weaker than what God wants it to be like in your life. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 goes on and says there was a kind of soil that was called the good soil. And it says, the ones that fell on good ground, those seeds, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, kept it, bore fruit with perseverance or with patience in their lives. God says two things that goodness and nobility does inside your heart is it brings forth longevity, it brings forth maturity, and it brings forth a full fruit, not just with God, but also with your spouse upon the earth. You see, I see again that our hearts are the main ingredient there that must be healthy to have healthy marriages on the earth. Amen? Christianity's beauty and worth are proven over time, not the sprint, but in the marathon walk. Those who serve God for many, many, many years realize even God has seasons for us where we don't always hear His voice so great. We don't always sense His presence so strongly. We don't have goosebumps on all of our body perhaps and every time we come together for church worship and praise. But God is still ever with us. And God is saying again, there's seasons even for believers of spring, summer, winter, and fall. The same thing takes place also in our marriages. And God said, we must learn to push on through winter seasons and realize springtime is really coming for those who persevere and those who take and press in and those who hang in there in Jesus' name. James chapter 1, verse 4 goes on and says this. Let patience, it says, have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This word perfect also means let perseverance have its perfect work, that you might persevere and through that be complete, lacking nothing in your life at all. This is the essential nature of the Christian life, is us persevering, having patience, hanging in there and saying, Father God, no matter what my feelings are like around me, I don't serve you by my feelings or by my emotions. It is by faith and by the Spirit of God that I serve you, Father God, with all my heart, all the days of my life. The same thing's also true in marriage. We can't go by feelings or emotions. It must be by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 also says this. He will give eternal life to those who by patience and perseverance, by continuance in doing good, will seek for glory, for honor, and for immortality in their lives. God says those who seek after and persevere after honor and peace, glory and honor and immortality, they shall receive that if they will continue on and not faint and not give up in times of testing. The Bible says very plainly time and again, in the last days, many Christians will betray each other. There'll be more hatred manifesting even among Christians in the church. We'll find things of schisms, divisions. We'll find pressures all around us. And God is saying we must set our hearts like flint to not buy into the culture of an evil culture around us, but always immerse ourselves in God's word, God's praise, God's people, God's purity, God's nobility, and God's honor. And through that, God says, I'm going to keep your heart with all diligence until I part the heavens and send my son Jesus Christ back to a people that have no spot, wrinkle, or blemish, the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? The good news is perseverance always reaps a reward in your life. You're not just hanging in there for nothing. There's going to always be a reward for people who have diligence and perseverance in their lives. Amen? Hebrews tells us, those who seek me diligently, I reward those people like that openly. There's an actor that might even be dead now named Al Pacino. I'm not sure if he's alive or dead right now, but Al Pacino starred in many, many Hollywood movies years ago and does even in the recent past as well. Back in the 1980s, he went to a Frank Sinatra concert. Al Pacino did. And Frank Sinatra, he's going to come out there and do his singing and so forth and so on to entertain the people. Al Pacino was all jazzed about this. I'm going to get a rest and a break. And to his surprise, he found out the opening act was going to be a man named Buddy Rich, a drummer. Buddy Rich was in his 60s. Al Pacino's in his seat there saying, oh, good. I want to hear this old guy come out and play the drums now while I twiddle my thumbs waiting for Frank Sinatra to come out there and sing his song. So I came for him, not for Buddy Rich. Well, Buddy Rich gets out there, gets on the drums in his 60s. He plays a drum solo for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes with nuances and cadences and things that people never had heard before in their entire lives. He lit the entire place up. The whole place came alive, gave that man a standing ovation at the end of his performance for 5 or 10 minutes. They could not believe what they'd heard by a man named Buddy Rich in his 60s playing the drums. Frank Sinatra comes out to begin his set, and he says, you know, sometimes it's a good idea to stay at a thing. He says, Buddy Rich has played drums now, solo drums, for decades. Sometimes it's a wise thing to stay at a thing and stay faithful to that. He's found the perseverance and hanging in there. Sometimes cadences come out, nuances take place, new things happen there that blesses crowds around you. And the same thing also is true of your marriage relationship. The longer you hang in there, the more God will bless that, God will breathe on that, and God will bring forth nuances, God will bring forth cadences, God will bring forth new facets you never knew about your spouse and about each other together. Amen? Studies have actually found that after about 20 or 35 years of marriage, couples find themselves as happy in that year as they were as newlyweds 35 years before that. Cheryl and I have about 3 more years to go. After about 35 years of marriage, studies have shown us a fact. Couples are as happy then as they were as newlyweds. This is after going through the first 20 years of marriage, where they find that in the first 20 years, normally the happiness level goes down, down, down gradually for almost 20 years. And then starts slowly climbing until at age 35, we find ourselves right back in honeymoon hotel all over again. Now, it could be because the toddlers are gone, the kids are all out, and the grandkids are here. Amen? That's probably part of that. But also, I believe it's because God's joined us together and caused us to become so much alike each other. We find ourselves living in great harmony together by the power of God's might and God's grace. Amen? Something very rich and meaningful has been discovered, that there's always a blessing in marriage and relationships that lasts for a long time. Most people also who flip from relationship to relationship, they have found they're really not happy people. They're really desperate people. Those who get divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, they're not really happy people. They're desperate people. They need to realize again that God will bless longevity, hanging in there, perseverance, and pressing on through. One study done with 5,000 couples who had dissatisfaction in their marriages at a great level. These folks, they went back 5 years later and researched the same 5,000 couples 5 years later. And those who were still together 5 years later, 85% of them were now doing fine in their marriage relationship. But of those who got divorced, 5 years later, they only found that 20% were now satisfied with their new spouse and in their marriage relationship. 85% versus 20%. Those who hung it out, stayed together, pushed on through to the other side. God blessed that, God honored that, and God brought blessings to them on the other side. The conclusion is, if you're in an unhappy marriage, the best thing to do is stay in that unhappy marriage, because there will be a blessing by longevity, perseverance, and hanging in there in Jesus' name. Now, I'm also going to say right here a disclaimer. If your husband or your wife is beating you, slapping you, and abusive to you, that's another thing. Amen? If they're now serving Satan and they're a Satanist or involved in black witchcraft and you see demons flying around the house, that's another story, okay? But I'm saying if either spouse is trying to make this thing work, though they might be unhappy for a season, if they will just press on through in due time, due season, you're going to find you're going to reap if you faint not, even in marriage relationships. That's a word to someone today. Right now, you might be going through pressures in your own marriage relationship there. I'm saying hang in there, press on through, do your best, ask for God's help, ask for God's wisdom and counsel. It will get better before it gets worse. And it'll get a whole lot better beyond that if you can see that breakthrough take place in that relationship. Going through the seasons of winter in marriages is going to build a great sense of loyalty and friendship. You won't find through only having spring times only in your lives. It's not really fair also or honest to evaluate your marriage during a difficult season. When it's going through a hard time, it's not the best time to evaluate your marriage relationship. It's time to go ahead and say, Father God, it's time now to put down some roots, hear your voice here. Help me, oh God, to have your patience, your love, your agape love for my spouse. Because right now, the feelings may not be there, but I believe, Father God, you put us together. And you're going to bring forth a healing resurrection to this relationship once again, as only you can do. A true story also on the West Coast, a couple whose names were Steve and Alice, just to make them anonymous, Steve and Alice. They've been married for 7 years, and all the people that saw Steve and Alice said, these guys are the perfect couple. They're happy all the time. They're laughing, going on vacations. Got a great house, great car, great job, great church. All things are perfect for Steve and Alice for 7 years of married life. And all of a sudden, as weeks were going by, Alice began to realize that Steve's heart was drifting more and more away from her for some reason, somehow, some way. They had a very, very important Monday meeting taking place in their lives. And so for some reason, Steve did not come home on Friday from work. Alice looked for him in the driveway, looked for him on the phone. Nothing happened. Total silence. Saturday comes and goes. Total silence. No phone calls. Steve does not come back. Sunday finally comes. And Sunday at about 8 o'clock at night, Steve finally rolls up in his car in the driveway. And she hears him out there. Alice hears him out there in the garage loading his golf clubs in the back of his trunk of his car. And Alice goes out and says, Steve, what's wrong? What's going on here? Where you been at? We got a very, very important meeting on Monday morning. And Steve says, Alice, I'm leaving you. I'm going out. I found somebody else. I like them better. I'm leaving you. I'm going to get a divorce. Goodbye. This is farewell for me. Alice is left there now crying, of course. Her heart's broken. And as time is going by, because Steve did make do with his promise, he did divorce her, took half of the goods, half the money, lost the income. They come to her house as months go by and say, you can't afford this house anymore. She lost her house. The church she worked at full-time said, we really can't deal with a divorced woman here in your ministry. Your capacity has now been dwarfed or has been somehow hurt by that, by your own pain and so forth, so on. They laid her off at her job. She lost her job. She lost her friends. She lost her house. She lost her money. And the sad thing was that Monday morning meeting they missed that day was to go to a adoption clinic to pick up her sign papers for a brand new adopted baby, because she was actually a barren woman. She actually also lost the right to be a mother that day. Lost her house, lost her money, lost her husband, lost her job, lost a baby. Lost the right to be a mother. If anybody had a right to be bitter and angry and hurt and torn up and turn their back on God, it was Alice that day. But Alice dug in there somehow, some way. She said, Father God, these things are all things as you live inside of me yourself. You can be my God, my husband, my love of my life. I will not turn my back upon you. Alice finds herself in another church, a big church. And the months and weeks are going by, and God's healing her heart. And God's doing all of a sudden some surprising things for Alice behind the scenes. God has ways of doing little things of handfuls of blessings on purpose for those that are hurting, bleeding, and dying on the Jericho Road. Amen. She would find scriptures. She would find God talking to her in her dreams and talking to her in her ear at night and so forth. And God has done amazing things for her day by day to show her, I love you. I'm for you. I'm with you. I'm going to be around you. I know what you're going through here. Cast your cares upon me because I do care for you. One Easter season comes up in the big church she's at. She's on the platform in the choir, singing for the Easter choir that Easter Sunday morning. And the entire platform was totally filled up with Easter lilies. And for some reason, Alice had her eyes on the lilies and said, these are beautiful flowers. I wish I could just have one to take home to my house today. Because of her financial situation, she couldn't even afford to buy a pot of lilies. She was so broke with money. Well, to her surprise, when she goes back to her church office at the service over that day, somebody had put a great big old giant Easter lily plant right on her desk at her own table and chair in the church. Had no idea what she had thought that day. And it says one more time, she says, one more time, Jesus Christ shows up, that he's my husband, he's my love, he knows the details of my life, gives me a great big giant pot full of Easter lilies, puts that desire in there, fulfills that desire as only he can do. The side thing here also was, God takes bad things and brings redemptive things from it also. Alice said that in this 2 years that she'd divorced her husband, Holy Spirit tells her, leave your wedding ring on. Don't try to find another husband right now. There was a covenant of three that were there for a season. Now one's gone. There's still you and I. Keep on serving me, praising me, worshiping me, being close to me. I'll be your God, your Lord, your husband, your Savior all these days. Well, Alice began witnessing to her unsaved father, who was an adulteress, who was an unfaithful man to his own wife. They'd gone through divorce themselves decades ago. And every time she saw her dad, she would hand out Christian tracts to him, give him scriptures, give him CDs of messages from churches like this. Her dad would say time and time again, Alice, this is all okay for you, but it's not really for me. Take these things with you. Go ahead and go on home if you want to, but not really for me right now. Well, all of a sudden, whenever her dad saw the years and months going by where Alice did not turn her back upon the Lord, he knew what her husband had done to her, like he'd done himself to his own wife and Alice's mother years ago. It somehow melted Alice's father's heart. And one day out of the clear blue sky, Alice's father calls her and says, Alice, come into my house. I need to talk to you. She comes over and says, I need what you've got. You are still serving your God, still full of joy and peace. Somehow, some way, though all these bad things take place in your life, you're still clinging to your God, your faith, your Lord, your Savior. I need what you've got. And her dad melted. Her dad repented in his 60s and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of her witness and her testimony. And I want to say this morning, imagine the power of two people that will hold fast together today in marriage. How that speaks to unbelievers at your workplace, your neighborhood, even folks in churches like this. That there really is a God among us who can make things healthy, vibrant, and flourishing even as years go by upon the earth. If you're taking any kind of notes this morning, why don't you write these three things down before we close in prayer in about 10 minutes. I'll have three things I want to bring out in the closing part of this. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves and say the same thing that Frank Sinatra said about Buddy Rich. And that is that sometimes it's a good idea to stay at a thing. And that thing also includes marriage. There's three misconceptions about marriage. Number one is, remember that marriage is not about getting our needs met. It's about sacrifice. It's not about your needs being met. It's about you sacrificing and being like Jesus Christ to your spouse. Amen? If you go into a marriage saying, what can he or she do for my needs? That's a very, very unhealthy foundation for that marriage relationship to last for a long, long time. The main thing is, what can I do to bless the one around me? And by doing that, blessings come upon us automatically. Like serving God, marriage will cost you a whole lot. Serving God will cost you a whole lot. I'm going to say it right now. God may say, loan your car out, loan your food out, loan your house out, take someone to lunch sometime and pay out of your own pocket for that. It's going to cost you something to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? But you cannot outgive God. But also marriage is going to cost you something, but you also can't outgive your spouse. Amen? And I'm saying take that to heart also today. You that are married here today. The newly married man, the newly married single guy that gets married in his 20s, early 20s, so forth, he can do all things he thinks he did back as a single man now that he's married and have sex every day on top of that. That's how he thinks. But he has to realize this is not really how it's going to be because I'm married to a person with their own needs, their own desires, their own wants, and I can't just throw things everywhere in the bedroom. I can't leave all the dishes out, leave all the food out, leave the trash overflowing. I can't do things I did. I can't play for 8 hours of golf every single Saturday. I'm with a person now that needs my time, attention, so forth and so on. Also, the young lady on her part thinks, as a newly married woman sometimes, I now have somebody who will always listen to me, empathize with me, and be my knight in shining armor every single day of my life. And that is fantasy world. Amen, women? They were like that in the dating game, but now they're married. Things start changing, things start twisting, and you realize you're married to a person who's not perfect in their lives. They can't be your knight in shining armor every single day. So marriage is not about our needs being met. It's about us sacrificing even for the needs of others. Number two, marriage is not about living out an emotional storm and living in the now, today, the present. It's about growing old together. That's what marriage is all about. In the movie called Titanic that came out back in the, I think, the 80s or 90s, it's the most popular film of its time for many, many decades, one of the most top grossing movies ever as far as money is concerned. We all know about Titanic with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. And this movie showed this couple who met each other on a whim in a boat, and she's engaged to get married, but she likes his charm, his wit, his adventure, his actions, and so forth and so on. So she dumps her own fiancé for Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie that's called The Titanic. And they go through a fling affair right there on the boat, going from Europe to America, hopefully, before it hits the iceberg. In this movie, there's one line that sticks out to me. This one line says this. Leonardo DiCaprio is with her, and they're by themselves on the deck of the boat. And Kate Winslet says to him, "When we finally come to the dock, I want you to take me with you wherever you go." Leonardo thinks for a moment and says, "This doesn't make any sense." And Kate Winslet says right back to him, "That's exactly why I trust it." Now that is Hollywood romance, pie in the sky, 6 months and divorce, in Jesus' name. Amen? "That's exactly why I trust it. It makes no sense. It's just my whim, my emotions, my feelings. The now today is all that matters. It's all spontaneous. Let's go for it and get married till death do us part." It's not going to be a good foundation. Amen? Growing old focuses on character rather than focusing on feelings. Couples don't fall out of love. Couples fall out of repentance. Repentance means I changed my mind. I was going this way. I'm now going this way. I was thinking this way. I'm now thinking this way, God's way. They don't fall out of love. They fall out of repentance. How many folks agree that bodies will change dramatically over the years? Amen? But character lasts a lifetime. Amen? And that's why you cannot base your whole relationship upon bodies and feelings and eros, love, and so forth, so on, because those things will change dramatically over time. And the fact even is, the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth, someone like Catherine Zeta-Jones, is right now having marriage problems herself with Kirk Douglas. You can't be the most beautiful person on the face of the earth and through that only have a strong, stable relationship for years and years and years that lasts forever. Only Jesus Christ is so beautiful. We can love him for all that he really is in character, nature, and beauty, all of eons of times as time goes by, okay? Number three, last of all, marriage is not about finding the perfect match. Marriage is about thankfully being married to a sinner. It's about thankfully being married to an unperfect sinner. Your wife, your husband, is not perfect. You're not perfect. You're going to be married to them. You're going to find all their warts, all their bruises, all their nuances of wrong things around them. And through all that, God is saying, learn to hang in there, seek longevity, seek my grace. Don't go by feelings or by emotions. Go by my spirit, says God. What I join together, let no man separate, is what God is saying to couples today in their lives. As James is back to the platform today to help me out here, James, I need your help also, please. I want to give one last story here, a true story from Barbara Walters, who's doing an interview after the 911 disaster took place years ago. 1 year goes by. Barbara Walters asks about one or two dozen women the question. She says, "What has changed the most about your life and about your perspective in life now that a year has gone by and your husbands are now dead and you're all widows? What has changed the most in your perspective on life?" One lady gets a microphone and she says, "The thing I can't stand now is when I hear a woman complain about her husband. I would give anything to walk into the bathroom and see the toilet seat up." Every widow on that platform shook their heads in unison in agreement. They can't understand people who complain about their husbands when they lose their husbands. The absence of their loyalty and friendship became huge in their lives. Husbands leave the toilet seats up. Husbands do things with their household that drive their wives crazy, and vice versa, women towards men as well. We have married a sinner who falls short of the glory of God. Amen. They make mistakes. They do things that aren't always perfect. We don't compare sometimes to folks around us, it seems like. But what God is saying to us is, don't go by the feelings, by natural things around you. Go by longevity and by character. Because God is forming a godly character in your spouse. And though it may be rough right now, if you'll just hang in there and seek my face and seek longevity, God's grace, I believe, will be there for longevity in marriage, for grace in marriage. Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now for just for praying time to pray for singles, pray for married couples today. Because what I'm talking here, not just about marriage in the natural realm, but also marriage to Jesus Christ. And the fact is, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're now born into His kingdom. You're born again, your spirit man comes alive, and you become, the Bible says, the actual bride of Jesus Christ. We realize there's no gender in heaven. There's no male nor female, no Jew nor Greek, no bond nor free. Only people that are called the bride of Christ. But what God is saying to us is, even our walk with Him can't be based on feelings, emotions, and upon seasons of springtime all the time, because there will be winter seasons sometimes take place, even for believers. When your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I want to speak right now for a moment to married couples. If you're going through perhaps a winter season in your relationship with your own husband, your own wife, you sing that song perhaps in the shower of your house, I've lost that loving feeling. Don't let that dictate the anthem for your marriage. Your marriage is not based on your feelings and your emotions. Those things will come and go. They'll ebb and flow. They'll be up. They'll be down. They will deceive you. The one thing is, you got to believe that God puts you together. And then when God joins together, God is saying, I don't want a man to separate. And Father, I pray for every couple in this place today that is going through times and seasons, perhaps, of shakings, divisiveness, arguings, strife, competitions, jealousies, yearnings, oh God, towards the old ways and towards the realms of Egypt. Things were so much better back in Egypt. Or things could have been so much better if I just chosen this guy over this guy. But now I'm stuck with this guy or this woman here. I pray, God, I say today, every lie of hell be exposed, Lord, this day. That no man, no woman can bring us salvation, can bring us peace and joy and the things of your kingdom by themselves. It always takes the God factor of saying, Father God, I'm not here in this marriage to be served. I'm here to serve and give my life as a ransom for my spouse and my children and my God in Jesus' name. So Father, I pray, reveal our hearts. Deal with our hearts, O God. Let us, O God, see any wicked ways, any selfish ways inside of each one of us that might be causing the strife and division in our marriages, O God, this day. Help us, Lord, to be those who turn the other cheek, who walk the extra mile, who give the tunic and not just our shirt only. And we say, I will love you with an everlasting love. No matter what I'm feeling right now or you feel right now, I choose to persevere, to hang in there. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Father, I also pray today for all the singles that are here. I say, Father God, you are their God. You are their love. You are their the one who speaks to them, clings to them, draws them, O God, to yourself. We are not just complete, O God, by a spouse. We are complete in Jesus Christ the Lord. And I praise you, God, those that are single that are here today will not find themselves striving for a person to bring fulfillment to their lives. They'll strive to God, the Almighty God, because we are the bride of Christ. And I praise you, God, this day. That covenant is intact. That says, though Adam be asleep, in his sleep, that's when Eve should come. God is saying to singles today, be asleep to your own flesh, your own desires, your own timing. And say, Father God, in your timing, your ways, with my help perhaps as well, joined together with your will and your desires and your timing, there shall come a spouse in my life. But until then, I choose, O God, to rejoice that I know my God, I know my Lord. He fulfills every need of my life. And I'm not going to find myself in frustration. I'm not going to find myself in depression. I'm not going to find myself in rejection. But I'm going to find myself in soundness, peace, and wholeness, and health. In Jesus' wonderful name. I praise you, God, for these things. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Well, I'm going to have someone that's here go upstairs quickly and try to bring down Kristen and Jeremy. We're going to pray with them, and we're going to pray for the team that goes to Myanmar tomorrow morning or very, very early in the morning, because we need your prayers. As you pray for us this morning to send us out, I praise you. I want you to pray for us until the 27th of this month here, that God's going to use each one of us the way He wants to. God's going to speak to us and through us, because we're going to a place with foreign food, foreign timing, airplane flights, schedules, and all kinds of things going on around us that are strange to people on our team here. We need God to minister through us and not be operating in the natural realm, but operate in the spiritual realm. if at all possible, when it's all possible, every single day we're there. But also this morning, I want you to understand and realize this one truth I gave. That marriages today are lasting a lot longer than they used to decades ago. And God is telling us, though it's longer, doesn't need to be worse. It can be actually better and a blessing. Amen? Because God brings wealth, the Bible says, and adds no trouble to that. May God give our couples wealth of years, but add no trouble to that. In Jesus' name, amen.